The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Good morning and welcome again to another, to actually Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday the 13th, and currently it's a little after 11 a.m. And I see that it's wet on this May Day. This is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for this morning. And I have, actually, I'm going to plan to have a conversation with my crime interrupter, Valentino Scrooge Brown. Where is my vocabulary this morning? Okay, some years ago, I was hired as a F&B tutor for at-risk youth facing challenges living inside the inner city. I was actually hired by the National Training Agency to teach food and beverage. And as we had a discussion about aspirations, about dreams, where do you see yourself in the next 1 year, next 2 years, 5 years, I remember a conversation with two male students. And their response to that question was, Mr. Nuri, I just want to be alive. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to see. I want to see myself being alive next year, right? And I must commend the NTA because they are successful at what they do. They empower individuals. They empower the youth. And I've seen the benefits of it. I'm proud to say that 2, 3, 4 years later, that those two students end up working with me along at the big hotel out west. And I was proud to see, because they said, Mr. Nuri, see, I got a job. You know, so hopefully my training did work. And I remember the gentleman, these two students, one of the gentlemen said, boy, Mr. Nuri, remember I said I wasn't sure that I would have made it? And I said, yeah, man, I'm glad to see that you made it. And after having that conversation about 6 months later, right after this gentleman received the Employee of the Month award, where he was up for promotion because his immediate supervisor called me up and said, hey, what do you think about this guy? I plan to promote him. He is the best busser we have seen, especially someone coming from the inner city. I said, man, he came from far. And I related that story of what he said when he was in the training at the NTA, that he wasn't sure that he would have made it. And I'm tearing up right now. 6 months in the program when he's going to get promoted, be working at the hotel. On his way home, he caught the bus, the work bus home. And coming off the bus, he was shot. He died there. So I guess he didn't make it. I wanted to tell that story in order to have some insight from my guests, so he can tell me what is it that we can do to stop that. This young gentleman knew that his years were limited, right? And he was concerned for his life, but he was determined to change his way of life. That's why he entered the NTA program. He was successful at it. He got himself a job, secured himself a job. He proved to be one of the better ones at the job, up for a promotion. And despite all of the change he have made, the commitment he have made, he fell victim. And my concern is, I think it's because of culture. I played the song Gangsta Paradise coming in. And the song basically saying that their community, their culture of living makes them turn out to what they are. This is who they are. The social issues they have, the economic issues they have is a formula for a gangster's paradise. And I'm going to bring in Valentino Scrooge Brown right now to give commentary. One thing that you said last time you were here was that gangs and drug dealers makes a bad mix. It shouldn't be mixed because that creates problem.
Yes.
Right? And I have one or two questions because I still want to know your narrative so we can help people in our community and so we can help our government with ideas on what can be done. But how do we stop the killing?
How do we stop the killing? Good morning to all the listeners on Guardian Radio. And yet, again, Ms. Nuri, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on the show this Friday. And for those who are listening, I'm going to try my best to answer this question the best way I know fit. Ms. Nuri, repeat that question again. How can
we stop the killing, basically?
Well, honestly speaking, it's going to take a little while before we can stop the killing. A very little while. Because governments come and go, they are continuous, but when programs are introduced, are being effective, when the next government comes in, they cease that program. So we're making some progress, then maybe people vote the particular party out, and then we go right back to the bottom again. So we had a great program that was benefiting, making progress, then the next government come in, and they're not taking up the mantle.
So perhaps some of these NGOs need to be independent of the government, that it can survive separate and apart from transition of government.
Yes, we need a 25-year plan to deal with crime in this country. All right? And it's a combination of the Ministry of National Security, the community, and the Office of the Prime Minister. It comes economically, how we're going to empower people. Then we're going to have to educate people on why it's important to live a life that is a regular citizen down to live a life of being a gangster or a criminal. What are the benefits, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, and then we're going to have to see how we're going to be able to develop the environment, which is the community that all of us live in, you know, because you're dealing with different walks of people in the community. So you're going to have to deal with the environment.
And that's what I wanted to point it out. I think it's our environment. There are homes without no electricity in our neighborhood. There are persons still with outside plumbing or mm-hmm. no plumbing at all. There are communities within our community that have nothing to eat. Every day is a hustle. There are houses with one bedroom apartments would have 12 people living there. Mm-hmm. They sleep on shifts. One person go out, that person get a chance to sleep, right? There are broken homes where mothers mm-hmm. do tricks at night. Their fathers hustle at night, selling whatever they got to sell. And the kids
see all this. They see everything.
Yes, you know. And if that's the environment, how do we expect them to get out and survive? Because we are breeding this gangster's paradise, a place where they can flourish and be a part of that community.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm concerned. But I want to move the conversation.
Right.
I want to move the conversation.
But those points you made, all is what happened in our country and what is affecting us right now. So all those you talked about just now,
yes.
It's combination.
And like I said, I wanted to move the conversation back to you. And, okay. And I believe that your story is the answer. Mm. And people like yourself, and I think that the powers that be, mm-hmm. needs to include you, embrace you, and include persons like you who survive previous gang wars, who survive the culture and being social advocates, community yeah. advocates
yes.
for change, you know, change agents, right?
Yes.
And the last time we were here, we spoke about your primary school, we spoke about your junior school.
Yes.
And we ended when the decline of gangsterism, gang mentality in our neighborhood. This is around about 95, 97-ish, right? And what was happening at this present time was, one, you and others were invited by the Prime Minister, Sir Lyndon Pinglin, and I want to talk about that.
Yes.
Atlantis opened up at that time, right, in terms of the phase two.
Yes.
And Miles Monroe infiltrated the community with the street meetings and stuff like that. And I wanted to hear that because people say that those were the nuggets that helped put a stop to crime or put a pause on crime. And I want to know your opinion on
it. It did. Okay, so what do you want me to start from first?
Let's talk about the Prime Minister. Yeah, let us talk with Sir Lyndon.
Okay.
How you got to visit the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
Well, I had an opportunity to meet the Honorable Prime Minister, now deceased Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinglin. This was in the year of, I think, 1991, 92. I met him first at C.R. Walker when he was driving to get people to vote for the next general election because we were the next set of, students.
Voters. Yes, who come out to be 18.
Yeah, and they had to say, we are going to decide, the younger voters are going to decide who is going to be the next Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So he was at C.R. Walker. And then, coincidentally, my friend James Charles, who's one of the leaders of the Border Boys, Chucky, he met up with me. We were friends around 1991. And he told me that the Prime Minister of the country, Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinglin, wanted to meet with us. So I said,
meet with us meaning who?
He wanted to meet with me and James Charles to get some information concerning the crime crisis in the country, especially the gangs, because it was something new, not only to the Prime Minister and the government, but it was also new to CID. Those officers who name I call, like Douglas Hanna, Guy Johnson, Warrie Sanders, it was also new to those guys also.
Mm-hmm.
Even our elite police officers, gangs were, this was new to them. They were used to dealing with hardened criminals like murderers and armed robbers and et cetera, but they didn't have no way of dealing with the gangs because that was a combination of all those things in one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he wanted to meet with us. So James Charles was working with O.B. Pinglin, who is the son of Sir Lyndon Pinglin.
Mm-hmm.
And James Charles referred to me, and I said, okay. And we sat out and we met him by his office, which was on Long Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
He had a Ping building on Long Wharf, which was his law firm, Sir Lyndon Pinglin, on Long Wharf
Pinglin
Beach.
Co.
Yeah, Pinglin and Co. You always remember that when we go around the curve on Long Wharf. And we met with him personally, me and James Charles at first. And I want the people to know that me and James Charles were one of the two top gangsters in the country at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two top gangsters in the country. And we sit down with Sir Lyndon Pinglin, and he asks us, you know, why all the commotion, why all the anger, why all the murders, why all the stabbing, why all the gang wars? And we sit down and we explain to him.
But how did you feel meeting with the Prime Minister?
Well, first of all, that was the most happiest moment in my entire life.
For a gangster?
Yeah. That was like, you meeting an icon in Sir Lyndon, okay? This is the Prime Minister from when I was a little boy, from real little kids. We saw him driving his Rolls Royce. We see him by government house. He's an excellent speaker. He was a great prime minister. So that just alone, that presence, made us feel special to us.
Mm-hmm.
And him taking the time out just to have a meeting with us. That's how it feel. It feel like
it was a big deal.
It was a big deal to us.
So you met with him. What was discussed?
When we met with him, like I told you, me and James Charles, he said that, what are the leaders around that time? Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, we're warring. Mm-hmm. He said, what you mean,
so
warring?
You acknowledge the war?
Yeah, we're warring. I said, we have a turf war. And then we start to explain the different parts of the community and the area. And I said, we're at war right now with the rebellion raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, at that time, Barkley, who was the leader of the raiders, he got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ramos passed on to AKA Kelsey Lundy.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Scrooge. Now listen, his name is Scrooge.
You Scrooge?
Yes.
He was Scrooge.
But he's the original Scrooge.
Oh, okay.
I as Ebenezer Scrooge. That was given to me. Yes. I changed my life around from Europeans. But I'm actually, my original name is Scoochie. So Kelsey Lundy. His second in charge was Franz Pascal. And before Franz Pascal, it was Barclay, then it was Plywood, then mm-hmm. it was S. You know, these were the leaders, Galen, all this. Mm-hmm. Anton Roll, who was also deceased. These were like the leaders before Kelsey Lundy took over. Yeah. So I told them about Marvin Bodie, who was the leader of the Mason Murderers. We told them about Maren Mortimer, who's deceased. Choo Choo, deceased. Bane Boy, deceased. They were gun dogs. We talked about the Camp Road guys, or Boy Oi, and et cetera. I mean, name of many other guys who were involved with gangs at that particular time around the country. And
so who's present? I mean, this is you and Chucky.
Yeah, and the Chucky Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister was just
there's
present.
No police present at all?
No
the
police
Prime
present.
Prime Minister met
no,
you.
No, only your son.
Oh, just his son.
And many cabinet ministers.
Oh, so you had
many the cabinet, whole cabinet ministers. Many cabinet ministers. Many cabinet ministers. Brian Norwich, et cetera. Obi Willishkum, I even think Brave Davis was there as the lawyer, being a partner with Sir Lyndon Penland. So it was a host, mm-hmm. host of senior politicians who were getting input from us. And then he asked us if we could go there and set up a meeting with these guys.
How you going to go and set up a meeting with people you weren't with?
Now, listen to this. This is so, listen, when he said that, right? Me and James Charles, we look at one another because you were telling us to go talk to our enemies who we just tried to kill or who tried to kill us or whatever the situation is, mm-hmm. back and forth. And we looked and see how this is going to work, but it's a Lyndon.
Yes. So it's the Prime Minister of the country.
So we had a leverage there. It wasn't like a nobody. Mm-hmm. So me and Chucky look at one another. We say, okay, so we try our best to see how we can arrange this meeting for you to meet with the rest of the gang leaders in the country. So me and James Charles took it upon ourselves.
Wow.
And the difference between us and this generation is we could have reasoned. So mm-hmm. we sent a message over. We didn't even send a message over. We walked over and read
the
story.
You crossed the border.
Yeah, me and Charlie, I just remember me and James Shot walked over. And we were actually warring. Mm-hmm. So when we started to walk through the community, we see all the guys who were raiders, you know, start to
come
on the streets. And we say, hey, we ended that. We come to see Scrooge. We come mm-hmm. to see the boss. So they allowed us to go see Kelsey. We had a few minutes with Kelsey, and we told him.
Your reason.
Yeah, you know.
What did he say?
Well, he looked at us and we say, you know, we say, we ain't come to war. We come to reason on behalf of the Prime Minister of the country, which is Sir Lyndon Penland. And he sent us to you. And he would like for us to have a dialogue in a neutral zone where we could all come to an agreement and find out why are we mm-hmm. hurting and killing one another. And Kelsey Lundy, a.k.a. Scrooge, agreed.
He said, yeah?
Yeah, he agreed.
So how do you get to Mason Murderers and the Hoyas and Nike
that was
and
easy.
The Gun Dogs?
That was easy. We are the top gangsters. Border Boys and Rebellion Raiders were the top gangs in Nassau. Mm-hmm. The top gangs in Nassau. We were the top. There was no one topper than us. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of influence on other gangs because they wanted to join us or join the Raiders. Either mm-hmm. you want to join us to fight the Raiders or someone want to join the Raiders to fight us.
Because mm-hmm. I remember when Border changed the name to Border Hawks.
That's right. That's when we got the Gun Dogs involved. Mm-hmm. When we talk about Gun Dogs, I want to send a special shout out to my friend Marvin Martin, Meat Man. Meat Man, you need to take it easy. You need to retire. All right? You was the leader of the Gun Hawks back in the days. You can't be at the same age. Meat Man, you was my good friend. You need to cease, man. Cease the violence. Cease the peace. You know, Meat Man is still over there, mm-hmm. and he's doing his thing. I'm hearing those. Meat Man, you're being run at the same time I've been run. We get away. Okay, you need to ease up now, man. Mm-hmm. You know, make your community a better place.
Are you prepared to meet with him?
Who's that?
Meat Man.
Meat Man, that's my boy.
But you prepared to meet him
of
again?
Of course,
him?
That's my boy. We have a good relationship. This was my enemy now. Mm-hmm. But we over the sea. When someone's your enemy, first of all, he is serious like you. Mm-hmm. He shoot at me, I shoot at him, or we try to stab one another, or we set guys to try to kill one another or harm one another. So we understand one another. We both me in business. Mm-hmm. So we understand that, hey, we got to respect one another in order for us to live.
Okay. Today we are speaking to Valentino Scrooge Brown. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I see we have a caller. We can make this quick. Because I want to have this conversation with Scrooge.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I want to ask him.
Go ahead.
But go ahead, caller.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Good day, Nuri.
Yeah, man, it's good to hear you. But make it quick Scrooge. So I can talk to Scrooge.
Scrooge, who is that?
Heading good, sir.
You know what is that?
The way sound familiar.
It's Skillaboo.
Skillaboo?
Yes, sir.
Mason boy?
Yes,
we say Skidaboo.
Murderers.
Yes, Mason, Skidaboo, hey, yes.
Listen, I want to share something with Nuri. Nuri, you say how we get stop it.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to tell you something. You can't stop it.
What do you mean you can't stop it? We got to stop it. Okay, slow it down.
Tell me why you can't stop it.
No, just tell me how you can slow it down. Tell me how to slow it down.
I can tell you right now. It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know let me input school call off?
Yeah.
Okay. I was a no Mason murderer, but I used to live in Mason.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hang with Scrooge there.
Yes.
All the boys. I could go and hang in Camp Road. I could go and hang with the Raiders. I could go hang with all these fellas.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
People used to say I was a bad boy. Yeah, I might have been a bad boy, but I used to be a bad boy concerning doing good. I never used to pack cake in the activities with the gangsters them used to be in. I used to hang with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them was my boys. I talk about the head, mm-hmm. all the leaders,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, how we could make this thing work,
mm-hmm.
you got Scrooge, you got me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to a program show, and I've been there for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
and plenty of the fellas, them would used to come there, was in gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I talked, I used to do counseling and I used to do motivating speaking. The program show and a couple other schools. All these fellas looking for is love. Mm-hmm. When I say love, they're looking for somebody what could show them what life is all about. And it's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
When we was out there doing our foolishness, me and Scrooge and a couple others, our mind
was twisted.
We wasn't into no law. The belief, we never were scared of that.
Never.
See? So we had a mindset that when we come for you, we come in for you. We don't care what it takes to come. See, and it's all a mindset. So how you change a mindset of a person? You start to show them that, hey, you could be better than that.
Yes.
There's something greater than you in you than being that.
Mm-hmm.
See? The drug dealing and the gangster, like Scrooge say, they don't wait together.
They can't wait together.
Because you get some fellas with us deal drugs, but they ain't no gang war.
That's right.
You get some fellas with gang, and they don't deal. But when you get them fans, what's not dealing with drugs and gang?
It's hell, that's the problem.
That's the problem right there. See, it's a mindset. And once we could get to these fellas' mind and show them that, hey, that ain't the life. You need to live.
Yes.
You want. When I was the program show, I made some fellas from Camp Road. When I tell them what the meanings of a sissy is, they couldn't believe it. I tell them, listen to me. You all calling these fellas sissy? All you all telling the fellas is coward. That's all a sissy is, a coward. So all these gang with you all, 10 of you all beating up one fella, you all is cowards.
Yes, right.
And when you show these fellas from young what time it is, they're looking for somebody with real, with been there and done it.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for people with guessing and feeling them out. They're looking for fellas like me and Scrooge what can tell them what time it is.
So, Scrooge, are you prepared to volunteer your services and help change this right. mindset?
See, and you know what they need to do? Let me tell you what they need to do, Nuri, the government. Like school say how Finland pick him up and a couple others and let them go and talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this government needs to do. Get some of the fellas them off the streets. Not say what off the street, but been there. Me, Scrooge, couple others, right? And send us to these schools. Put us in these schools so we can really touch the heart of these fellas them and let them know that kind of life.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for that insight. And I'll push the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scrooge.
Hey.
How, like you said, meeting Celindon made you proud.
Yeah, it made me proud.
Right? And that you matter, that you say, I'll take up this mantle. And risk your personal self on behalf of him.
I just don't kill people. I just don't stop people. I just was one, that's what my life was. And that's how I was. That's how thousands of us were on Means of Living, and changed my thought pattern, my mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, he started to talk. And he also put us in law school.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come I get the way I am now. That's what changed me and changed my mindset.
What do you mean, put you in law school?
Let me explain. See, this is how the mindset changed, what Skillaboo was talking about. My mindset changed meeting Sir Lyndon,
mm-hmm.
because I told you I saw him on TV from when I was a little boy, meeting him and having a conversation with him. And then he telling me how in the near future I'm going to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And by him showing me that respect, and he believed in me. Mm-hmm. I started to ponder, am I really sitting down to the prime minister at the table of the Bahamas?
And say you could be a leader.
And say I could be a leader.
You could be somebody.
And he's so excited to see us.
Sincerity.
Yeah, so this got to make us think. And I told you when we met, he set up a meeting for us to meet at St. Agnes Ballroom. Mm-hmm. Of course, from government grant. And to this meeting, you see the government grant?
Mm-hmm.
That there, you said big the government grant is.
Mm-hmm.
What if I tell you that was all blackout?
What do you mean by blackout?
That was all blackout.
Explain blackout.
From the Border Boys, from the Gun Dogs, from Rebellions, from the Mason Murderers.
Y'all had a general meeting of
we
all
We had against? A general meeting where only the leaders were allowed to go upstairs to meet the members of parliament with Sir Lyndon sitting on at the mantle. And the whole government grant was full of young teenagers. No one over the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And we had a meeting with Sir Lyndon. And to the meeting, you know, we had, like I could tell you, and I want to also send a message that Moshe McKenzie, who I brought up.
But no, I don't want to talk about Moshe. Right. We'll talk about Moshe in the next segment.
Yeah, I'm saying they came afterwards.
Yes, I want to talk about Moshe in the next segment.
We end up coming to agreement, and Sir Lyndon asked us when he saw us, and we started to say who we are. Kelsey say who we are. He's the leader of the Raiders. Who's second in charge? I from Hay Street. Who's second in charge? Who's first in charge? Gun Dogs, first in charge. Mm-hmm. Mason Dishon, first in charge.
But how did y'all came to a truce?
Listen now. So Sir Lyndon asked us, what was the problem? We started explaining this and that. But we couldn't give a good explanation besides the fact that this guy messing my boy and mm-hmm. he lived across Hay Street. That's what we were fighting for. For territory, protect my area from the Raiders taking over my area, or attacking my Mason, protecting the area so that no one take over the area. And Sir Lyndon said, you know, what are y'all fighting for? And then when we looked at one another, none of one of us, as smart and as serious as all of us was in that room, we couldn't answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have no answer. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was trying to kill my brothers and sisters for.
Mm-hmm.
When he asked me that, and he asked us that. And none of us could answer it.
So what happened after that?
After that, we started to talk and dialogue. And then he asked us if we are willing right now to cease the street fighting mm-hmm. between us. And we looked at one another. And since we were in collaboration and talks,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were able to say, no problem.
Yeah.
And we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the major gangs got.
Pause for that brief moment.
Pause.
Okay, I want to transition again. I see I have another call, and I'll come mm-hmm. to you now. What about Miles Monroe and his church?
Miles Monroe came around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Monroe, I met Miles Monroe through Debbie Bartlett.
Mm-hmm.
She was the queen. Miss Bartlett came to Hay Street, and she wanted to find out about the gang life. Miss Bartlett had a show, Teen Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice it, you would see me on it, holding a gun
mm-hmm.
and talking to Miss Bartlett. Underneath the breadfruit tree across from Hay Street Park.
Okay.
Miss Bartleman brought Miles Monroe. And they themselves concerned, just like Sir Lyndon Penland wanted to bring Christianity and bring relief to the murderers and the gang warfare in the country. And Miss Bartlett brought him down in Hay Street along with Dave Burrows,
mm-hmm.
Carlos Reed, Spy, and a few others. And we started to interact, and Miles started to come around regularly, and he allowed Carlos Reed and
Jay Burrows. That's when the tournament started.
Yes, yes, and they get a good input on gang life because we were one of the top gangs. So the diplomat said, under the tutelage of Miles Monroe, was down in Hay Street Park. Now I'm, and they got everyone to turn Christian besides me.
Yeah, because I see the whole everyone in Border turn Christian.
Everyone turned Christian.
Border Christian massive crew, yeah. Or something like that.
And at the same time, we just the decrease with the gang warfare with me and the rebellions and the gun dogs, all that decreased at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where a little peace come in there. And this is how I got out of the gang warfare. Mm-hmm. This is how I got rid of Kelsey trying to kill me, or Marvin Bodie trying to kill me, or someone down the street trying to kill me. This is how we got cool.
And I'll bring in the caller now, and I want to speak to about the Atlantis. Because I remember at one point in time, it looked like everybody in Border was working Atlantis.
Go ahead,
caller. Let me hear your quick question, because I want to ask Scroogey some more questions.
See you, Nuri. Hey, morning, man. Morning. Hey, morning, Scroogey.
Morning.
Listen, just wanted to make a comment here. And firstly, Nuri, let me congratulate you for this very riveting conversation you're having this morning. I believe that the information imparted thus far helps a lot of us out here who have not been involved in the gang warfare or gang lifestyle to give us a greater in-depth look at why persons are involved in the gang and so on and so forth. There's something that the previous caller had mentioned, which I think is a missing component, especially for the young men in this country, and that is the mere fact that perhaps they don't feel loved and appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that may indeed be playing a very major or pivotal role in why a lot of the young people now today, more than ever, seem attracted to gangs. More so now, it's the prevalence of these young girls now getting involved even more in gangs. Let me just close on this one point here very quickly. And that is, you know, I think going forward, we have to inspire some way, somehow, to get across to them that, hey, yes, they are loved. The thing is, even with those who may have been incarcerated or who may have been locked up or penned up for a while for some of the things that they have done, seeing that now, if you notice, a lot of persons now with these records or things on documents that state that they were in trouble with the law before, for them now to go forward and find gainful employment in this country, it's going to be very difficult for them to do. So my final point here is this. You know, I think what Scroogey said was very important. I think it flew over lots of persons' heads. And that is the mere fact that if we can get these persons who are gang leaders, who a lot of these people look up to on a daily basis, and get them to come around the table and discuss how they can get some of their members, perhaps, to, even though they may have a record now, to create a cooperative and actually give them the ability to be employed, even though it may not be with the hotels or whatever, but some way, somehow, an initiative that the government and private entities can actually fund something that the gang leaders then, if they are really serious about transformation, to get them involved in these things and give them a trade such as doing some of the things that in some of the industries that we don't have here, like license plates, collecting bottles, recycling, stuff like that. I believe that is the avenue now that we need to be looking into. But these conversations are not fully being had, and they're not really being fleshed out in the manner that a lot of us law-abiding citizens would like to see our young men in particular become a lot more productive.
Yes.
So these are some of the things that we would want to have discussed. And Scroogey, and I, we had this conversation before, but I would really like to hear where the conversation now can divulge from that point to a point of getting these young people and the persons who are in the gangs more productive into their personal talents and disciplines that they may have to make a better Bahamas. Thank you for taking my call, Nuri. And hey, I need to speak with you. I left my number, but hear from
I thought I called. No problem. I'll reach out again. Okay. Before I let you go on and speak briefly about Atlantis, because we're running out of time, right? Text says, good day, Brother Nuri. Scrooge is very correct. There are persons of respect, like the Prime Minister and various bishops of Man of God, who are able to reach gang leaders and solve the problems among young men. Very powerful show for the right direction for the country. Please follow suit. I fully support this, and this is from the Mayor of Grand Bahama. Now, quickly tell me how important was Atlantis?
We want to do it after the break, or?
No, do 2 seconds and then we go after the break.
Remember now, after 1991, 92, Sir Lennon lost the general election. Hubert Ingham came into power,
mm-hmm.
Free National Movement. And the work was done on the way to start Atlanta's Face. And Sir Lennon was ready on incorporating us to give us empowerment because we told him we need to be empowered, like fixing homes in the community, cleaning up on the side of the road, putting sidewalks down in order to provide an opportunity for the guys who were gang leaders so we could be able to assist those less fortunate in the gang, to get them out of the gang, and now provide them with employment once we are empowered as being supervisors or contract workers. So like how the caller was talking a little previously, this is the motion that we started to talk so that we could get people to show that they're appreciated in the country.
Good. And I'm speaking to Scroogey Brown, and we're talking about why gangs exist in the Bahamas, how what we need to do to solve the issue or slow it down. And he is a community advocate for Grantstown. He has a number of initiatives. We'll talk about that when he comes back. But we're going to take a break, a quick break right now, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
I'm a dub, I think, baby, because I'm a dub. What a change for the world. Because I'm a dub. That's right.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the Morning. And we're talking to Scroogey Brown, Valentino Scroogey Brown. And we're going to get straight into it because we're running out of time, Scroogey. Hey. What all are you doing in the community of Grantstown?
All right. You want to know what I'm doing in Grantstown? Well, we're getting a new brand, community center built. Lena and Bahamas, they're my partners. And that's there to bring education, scholarship, and ownership of business in the community. I'm also a part of the church program where I'm a partner with Salem Union Baptist Church, where I give my advice to the pastor on how he can come with the four walls and be more effective in the community by back to school, helping people get their lights turned on, and also finding supplies, et cetera, that the kids need. Or if there's an old person in the house that needs some assistance from the church, that's one of the program too. Currently, I'm working with the Hay Street and Lewis Street redevelopment. That's my company, small company, and we're dealing with cleaning up the neighborhood, refurnishing broke-down houses, putting windows and doors on it, and also finding ways and how we can get the tourists to come in the area so we can turn it into an environment, business establishment for that particular community in the Grantstown community. This is my biggest project, what I'm doing right now. I also have a sporting program that I've been doing for 20-something years, basketball program. We are now in partnership with the minister of being in Grantstown, Mr. Watson, to have a program, summer program for the kids on Hay Street Basketball Park. I'm also assisting with the introduction of local government. I also participated in the development of the Overdell Initiative, which is actually the Urban Design Lab we did in 2012, 2013, and all of this year to deal with crime. So the 2012, 2013 Urban Design Lab that I did with the former administration, the PLP government, which switched over when the Free National Movement came in power, which is the Overdell Initiative, that program is to deal with crime and poverty and how to deal with crime and poverty in the country. So that's my biggest program. I'm doing that now in the Grandstand community. I've assisted many other organizations.
I see you're doing a lot of murals on the walls.
Yes, I'm doing murals.
Who's doing that exactly?
That's a partnership. And Antonio Roberts, one of my next partners. Mm-hmm. And we're working on the Dr. King site, which I inherit. I inherited from Mr. Ponzo, who's now deceased. And Dr. Rita Pratt was the one who went and did the historical find about the history about Grandstand and when Dr. King came to the Bahamas in 1958. And she was the one who made sure that the information is quite correct. It stated that Dr. King came in the Bahamas later in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. In Bimini, Dr. King's first visit to Nassau, New Providence was in 1958.
And he stayed in Lewis Creek. I see the entire program there that you're trying to promote. Yes. And highlight. But if somebody trying to get in contact with you, give me a number that they can call you and help you with any programs.
If someone wants to get in contact with me, my telephone number is 467-9134.
Do it one more time.
467-9134.
Good. Just in case someone will want to contact you and help with, yes, with these initiatives you have. And I want to transfer from there and move on. Just recently, someone on the work scheme, the prison work, mm-hmm, scheme, was shot at his job. Yeah. He was working at a gas station on a prison release, yes, form. The streets are having that he was shot by a hitman. I think there's a different word for that now.
Shooter.
What is a shooter? And did, and there's a reason why I'm asking that, because you called the name, mm-hmm, of a deceased person recently. I said, I want to talk about him separately, mm-hmm, right? And the name is Mushe.
Yeah.
Right? When you say his name, it causes emotions in our neighborhood, yeah, right? And I want you to basically explain who Mushe is.
All right.
Explain.
That's a hitman.
Okay, go ahead.
Mushe, I brought Mushe up. Mm-hmm. See, that's what people, everyone notice. I brought Mushe up. I was on the streets way before Mushe them, all right? So I teach Mushe them how to do badness. Mm-hmm. That's a serious and deep disco. Mm-hmm. See, I was on the streets a long time. Mushe McKenzie is one who you call, who changed the gang warfare in the country. Him and Stephen Dye Stubbs. When that era came up after me and Kelsey and Marvin Bodie and all us who are the leaders now have peace, we started to die out and we become more drug dealers. Mm-hmm. Right? We started to be into money. Those guys came up and they started to take it to a level where they became hitman because those guys were constantly in and out of prison. They're the ones who changed the dynamics and created murders, just pure hitman.
I ask you that because I'm familiar with Mushe. Everyone is familiar, yeah, with Mushe, right? I remember that Mushe had 3 or 4 young boys. I mean, I call a young boy, I talk about 16, 17-year-olds, yes, who used to hang with him.
And they're now leaders.
What do you mean they're now leaders?
They're now leaders right now in the community.
Explain that to me. Explain that.
Yeah, he had a crew of young guys around him. Because, you know, after I said, you know, we still was acquainted, but it's his time now to lead because I'm...
He became the leader.
Yeah, all my enemies now, we come to agreement now. He is in and out of jail, so he's bringing that jail beef back, mm-hmm, on the streets. And now it's pockets. It isn't like how we used to have like 5,000 or 4,000, 3,000 guys when we run the gangs. Now it break down the pockets because now, mm-hmm, the group is not as big no more because I told you we come to a peace agreement. Mm-hmm. So we can't war with guys who already give our word with Celinda. Mm-hmm. So our word is our bond, so we don't have no reason to beef no more. Then pockets came up. And pockets came up where our guys just murder for hire. Right?
So Mushe was a murderer for hire.
Yeah, he was a murderer for hire.
And then he brought in people to be murderers for hire for him.
And all the guys who he met in prison, they started to frequent the area. Mm-hmm. And in that click right there, those guys are responsible for over 50-some murders or more between United States of America, Freeport, Family Island, and Nassau, New Providence.
And some of these new gangs,
or more,
these new gangs that we have here now,
yeah,
how did they come about?
They came about now because after guys like Mushe, see, we faded out. Mm-hmm. Mushe them faded, got killed. Stephen Dye Stubbs in prison. Us, who's Kelsey Lundy, we taking a citizen role now, and a community role. There are still kids in the community who watch us, right? Mm-hmm. Who then come to no agreement with their peers. Mm-hmm. So they have their little war and click. So they form pockets. So we're seeing pockets of 5, 10 guys who are very, very dangerous. You see, they're selling drugs, but they also gangsters that can't work. It is sell drugs. Drug dealers, yes. That, no, that's disaster. Mm-hmm. That is a disaster.
And these are the people who are running havoc, making havoc in the Bahamas now.
Yeah, they're wreaking havoc on the Bahamas now because they don't have no vision. Mm-hmm. You see, like right now, if you look at the streets in Arsenal Providence, ain't nothing happening for nobody in this country right now when it comes to employment. Ain't nothing happening. Mm-hmm. You would see people walking the streets, don't have nowhere to turn. Unemployed. People sitting down in the streets, there's no more hustle, no more. It's just that everyone's waiting on something. And you can influence anybody. You talking about Hitman? If someone was to do me, let me give you a prime example.
Okay.
If someone was to do me something right now, and I'm thinking how I used to think when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I don't want to get my hands dirty, mm-hmm. all right? I know about 6 or 7 young men around the corner who have committed murder, mm-hmm. right? Why I can't go grow up when $3,000-$4,000, right? Buy them a gun, all right? Tell them, this new week, who just dissed me that day, mm-hmm. talking all this foolishness, I want you to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Don't call me back. Just do what you got to do. How much the gun costs? $1,500. I could buy it for you, and then give you $3,000 to put in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of you. And that's someone you ain't do them nothing. You never had no disagreement with them. It's me who could put them on you. Wow. And that's just how it is. Because the guys come in jail, they hang in the community, they have no job, they have no future, they have no direction, they have no one looking out for them, no mom, no daddy looking for them. They're just sitting stagnated in this community waiting for the first opportunity for a old fool like me, mm-hmm. who have no common sense to say, hey, I'm hurting my country and hurting my community, but I'm so into myself, eh? I still could destroy my community by calling those two young men to go take out somebody in the country. And you know why they're going to do it? Mm-hmm. Because their mindset, they're in prison. They came out of prison, and if you two to one, if you do their research, you'll see they ain't come from a family structure.
Okay.
And these communities are unmanned.
I see we have another caller. This might be the last caller for the day, so we can conclude.
Oh, and I want to say thanks to Cardo Williams, Drifters.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, Cardo.
Excellent. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, good day. Good day, Yuri. Good day, Scrooge. How you doing?
Doing well. Hey, but make it up. Quick, you know. I need Scrooge to talk some more.
Scrooge.
Hey.
Hey, you think the new laws, but they say they passing or they done pass the gang laws, or were they talking about $500,000, so many years of bullet or being a part of a gang? Are they going to make a difference in the country?
Make what?
I know you know what need to be done.
Yeah.
They talking about more time for bullet,
yeah.
for being a part of the gang and more money. You think it'll make a difference? I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the
honestly word. Speaking, if they think it's going to make a difference, if it ain't make a difference now, do you think it's going to make a difference? If right now it ain't make a difference now. So you think now if by introduce higher penalty is going to make a difference? No, sir.
And the reason for that, I think, is because they're not addressing the culture.
They're not addressing
we
the culture.
We have a culture of violence. We have a culture of criminality. And we have a culture of people being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is addressing the
no
hurt.
No one is addressing this.
Right? This text says, Mr. Brown, are you Laurie's son from the Brennan family?
That's me.
Say, this Fowler boy.
So, Fowler boy, my cousin?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's my Fowler. That's my cousin.
Yeah. So before we go, and I see we have about 3 minutes to go. Right?
Go ahead.
And we have a crime problem. We have a gang problem. And we've been dealing with this for a while.
Nuri, listen to me. This country has done us a disservice
mm-hmm.
because they never continue the crime format. Every time a new government come in, they switch around the police, they move this, they move the task force, they switch around the
urban renewal here and whatever it is.
They moved an inspector who have some knowledge about it to put their people in place. So this is just back and forth. It's killing us.
Up and down.
We never take it serious. That's why these problems, there's no crime in this country that I have not witnessed or heard about. These just things happen over and over and over because you know why? We're a bunch of fools. That's all it is.
But hope comes.
Yes, I agree.
And I believe with your assistance and assistance with others in the community, who have gone through this and survived this, mm-hmm. right? Who are willing? They are basically willing to help, but just need to be acknowledged, right? To say that we are here to help and assist. I think we'll be able to deal with it.
Yeah, if we're serious,
mm-hmm.
when we put country before we put lovers or friends
mm-hmm.
and social media, if we dedicate it to say, look, y'all, we have a 25-year crime plan. We understand what the problem is. Let's invest in these communities. Let's invest in the church. Let's invest in small businesses. Let's create some green spaces. You know, I understand it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless we do serious investment. We got a $100 million investment in Port Lucaya.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the $100 million go? Where's the $100 million going to be invested in the crime?
In the inner city.
In the city.
Man, Scrooge, I enjoyed this conversation, right? I look like I need to invite you again because there's so much
to talk about.
But we know the news coming down soon. And I'd like to say thank you for coming. A big shout out to Salem Union Baptist Church for the support they're giving you.
Yes.
Big shout out to what that community center is again?
Lenahan.
Lenahan and their community, what they do in the community. And I'd like to just thank you for what you're doing for the inner city and at-risk people. Thank you very much. This was Guardian Radio in the AM, and thanks for that extra 30 seconds.